Let's turn to God's Word in Hebrews chapter 7. And we will be reading from God's Word, Hebrews 7, verses 1 through 28. Hebrews 7, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of our God. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe, from which no man has officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of a fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. For he testifies, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, there is an annulling of the former commandment because of its weakness and unprofitableness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek," by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son, who has been perfected forever. And those are God's words. We have heard that Christ is greater than the angels in this book of Hebrews, and that he's greater than Moses. Now he's greater than Aaron and the Levitical priests. For he is the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, which makes him so much greater beyond the priests of the Old Covenant that there ought not to be any desire to return to that Old Covenant, something that was a temptation for those Jews in the day. To return to the old covenant ways, but only rather a desire to be satisfied in Christ alone. That should be our desire as well. Not only was Christ a priest forever, As we are hearing this evening, he was a king forever like Melchizedek, verse 2. And thinking of that desire to return to the old covenant, we see that today in some sects of Christianity trying to return to the Jewish ways, or even some Jews that we might minister to wanting to rebuild the temple. But that would be going backwards and sin. We should be satisfied in Christ alone. And then through verse 10, the superiority of the Melchizedek priesthood over the Levitical and Aaronic priesthood. And so the rest of the chapter is really showing forth the superior excellency of who Christ is, born from the tribe of Judah and not from the tribe of Levi. He is the one promised in Psalm 110, as that's quoted a couple of times in verse 17. And we see the superior excellency then of also Christ's office as high priest. And then verse 18 and 22 and following, Christ is shown to be the guarantee of a better, superior covenant, the new covenant. So that now having been seated on the throne as our mediator or priest king, verse 25, he always lives to make intercession for us, which the priests of old could not do. Verse 26, he being separate from sinners without sin, also the priest couldn't do that. And 27, needs not continually to offer sacrifices because he's the God-man and a priest forever, but rather died once for all for the sins of his people. God's people, we have a great and superior and excellent mediator king who reigns sovereign over all, who is our Savior. He is our sacrifice. He is our atonement. He is our satisfaction for sins. So let us exalt him who is highly exalted. Even as we prepare our hearts for the sermon this evening, in which we get this promise of a king who will reign forever, which is much like what we see here under the order of Melchizedek, the king of peace or king of righteousness, who is a king forever, but also a priest forever. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise for your Son. Just as we heard many times this morning, so we hear this evening, that your Son is our propitiatory sacrifice. He is our atonement. He is the perfect and the perfection of any priesthood, of any mediator, of any intercessor. For he lives to make intercession. And he is the one who reigns forever as the priest king, the mediator king. Even as he continues to be the mediator for the elect of God, to bring them unto you, Father, and into the church, his bride. Father, we're thankful that you continually, through him, hear our prayers, and you hear his prayers, that are perfections of also our prayers. And Father, we give you praise that he is the surety of a better covenant, and that he is the guarantee of a better covenant. And all these promises that we see here, and we could study for years of all that's going on here in this chapter, Father, for the depths of and the greatness and the superiority of Jesus Christ, our King and Priest, even over those old ways and the old covenant. Now we have Christ, the better guarantee and the better surety and the better mediator, the better priest, the better king. And we exalt in his name and him alone. And Father, as we consider that, we also consider your bride this evening. Father, it is with grief that we hopefully we'll grieve with those who grieve, like Russ, who's lost his mother. And Father, we ask that you would be with him and his family as they are taking care of those things necessary. And do rejoice with him, knowing that she professed faith. I pray that would have been a true faith. We believe it was. And we put our faith in you and know that you are the God who numbers our days. And we trust you in your plan. We pray that we would learn from those who have gone before us how to die well. And that you would be teaching us even through them. who have gone before us, and all these clouds of witnesses that we have. And Father, we ask that you would comfort them and help us to grieve with them and also rejoice with them. And Father, we do praise you that Dina's father's surgery on his vertebrae and his back went well, and he's already 2 days after that on his way home now. And Father, we're thankful that he's seemingly healing quicker than the doctors thought he would at his age. And so, Father, we pray that you would bring him back to health and movement. And Father, we pray that you would have him to turn unto you in faith for salvation. Father, we know that he professes faith, and yet there's been questions about that faith for many times, as he's claimed to be saved many times. So who knows but you, if he is your child or not. Father, we trust in you. We put our hope in you and call upon you to save him, if that be your will, by your Holy Spirit. And if he is saved, that you would sanctify him through this process, that he'd be trained by these earthly pains and struggles in body, and look to your Son, Jesus Christ, and the strength that we have in the Holy Spirit to be trained by these afflictions. And then, Father, we pray that we would all in our bodies, as we pray for Dina and Jeannie and others who may be struggling in their bodies, Father, we ask that you would care for our bodies, strengthen us to serve you, to worship you, and to be able to come Lord's Day after Lord's Day to worship together with your people. Father, we do pray for our government. Ask that you would bring them to bow the knee to Christ, the Prince, that they would kiss the Son, that they would submit unto him in all things and show their allegiance unto him alone, and not to the people of the world, not to the other politicians or the ways of government, but that it would be upon you and your word alone. And they would rule according to your word, if that be your will, which we plead for our own good, that they would proclaim that the God of Scripture is the God, the true God, and the only God that we ought to worship, Father. And that we pray knowing and desiring for the gospel to go forth to many nations and all nations, and that many would be saved and brought into your kingdom, not by force, but by your Holy Spirit and your word. You are the builder of the church, not the government, and so we trust in you and your plans. We ask that we would be free to worship you according to your word, and you would protect us, the church, from the attacks of the devil, from the government, from those of the world. And just as we think of the church in China and other places where great persecution is happening, like many countries in Africa and Muslim nations, Father, we ask that you would uphold those saints, that you would give them trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Spirit, that they would be strengthened to constantly profess the faith that they have, the faith once delivered, that they would not renounce their faith, that they would not be succumb to the pressures of what wicked and ungodly people want from them, but they would bow the knee alone to you. And just as we see in the book of Daniel, and just as we see throughout the scriptures, we pray that we all, your church throughout the world today, and all the elect who will come after, would bow to you, and we would submit unto you in all things. Father, help us in all these things, and help our efforts to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ to the community around us and the world. Help us to be faithful and to remain faithful. And where we sin or mess up, well, Father, we ask that you would give us perseverance and growth and knowledge and the ability to speak. And let us not back down from the truth of your word, and that we would speak the truth in love for their souls, because we know that if the word is not spoken to them, maybe not by us, but if the word is not spoken, they don't hear the gospel, then they will not be saved. Ordinarily, that's the way people are saved, through the preaching of your word. And so, Father, we ask for that to be done, even working through us, weak instruments as we are. Father, strengthen us, and may your grace be sufficient for us. We know it is, because you say so. And so have us believe that, and pray accordingly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.